from the area. Is it?
Not all.
Not all of them, or then not all leaders?
Not all of them. There are some of the potential leaders, some of them are executive members of some branches, some of them are yet alive.
Oh, okay. They're on the road. Okay, Hare Krishna. So we are having a two-part seminar on spiritual leadership. And it is meant to be practical. It is meant to be practical. So it's a good idea, unless you've got super memories. Well, Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, good memory means write it down. Particularly if we have a test tomorrow night. But anyway, seriously, this is a practical seminar. And it's meant to help devotees who are doing leadership. And of course, one of the first questions, one of the first points we'll look at is who is a leader, or who are the natural types of leaders? And I don't know how much you've thought about it, but you might be surprised. Who are the natural types of leaders? In other words, who this seminar is relevant to? So, first of all, let us consider, What is a leader? What is spiritual? What is leadership in the general sense? And one of the first points that needs to be addressed, at least amongst those who, you know, who have a little idea about these subjects and who might be the types to most likely try to apply these principles. First thing we will do, in fact, is make some distinctions between managing and leading. You know, I don't know. Some of you are perhaps from, you know, corporate management type backgrounds. I don't actually know. You may have been involved in such discussions. But anyway, it's a good place to start. It's a good place to start because in many cases, people assume, devotees, people in general, assume that management and leadership are synonyms, means two words for one thing, two words for the same thing. Like we say, you can say six, you can say half a dozen, right? And they're two words or two little expressions for one thing. They're not different at all. They're actually the same thing. So some people, some devotees think that leadership and management, that these words, leadership, management, two words, are just two words for one thing. But it's definitely not the case. So, well, a leader may be a manager also. A manager, someone who's primarily a manager, may also be a leader to some degree. They're not necessarily exclusive of each other, but at the same time, they're not necessarily the same thing. So let us just look at that subject initially. Some ideas about what's the role of a manager and what's the role of a leader. So, here's a couple of few ideas. A manager may be or is often more prone to focus on systems and structures and just like ways to get things done. Whereas a leader particularly focuses on the people involved. People are going to do whatever needs to be done. He focuses on the people. For him, the people are the resource. And, So, in that sense, the manager's system, you could say, is control. In a sense, management means to control the resources, I mean, like the money, and control the people, and, you know, perhaps the vehicles in a company, or even in a yatra. Whereas, so the manager relies on control, whereas a leader doesn't really rely. The leader inspires trust and gives inspiration, and in that way things happen. This might sound a little esoteric. The manager asks how, when. A leader may ask more what, why. Does that make sense? A manager oftentimes will be more focused on short-term considerations, whereas a leader has more of the long-range type of goal in mind and trying to get things to move in long-term senses. In a sense, a manager is a good copier, but the leader is more innovative and original. A manager will often imitate. A leader will originate, create like that. At least in business terms, and really it also applies in our temples and projects in many cases, a manager always gives a lot of attention to the bottom line. You understand the bottom line? Financial considerations. Financial considerations. How are we doing financially? And the leader's eye is more on the horizon, like where we're going, where we want to go, directional in that sense. A manager maintains, a leader develops. You know, you're hearing these things from me, these types of things you could hear from a, what they call, a management guru. But there is considerable applicability in Krishna consciousness. There really is. Well, how about the manager is like a reliable soldier, a classic good soldier. A leader is sort of like more individual, their own person, more freer thinking. And this might be too sort of like jargony, but the manager does things right, the leader does the right things. It's a sort of like mantras, you could say, but they have applicability in Krishna consciousness, believe me. So anyway, so leadership's really important in Krishna consciousness. Giving that inspiration, not just manipulation. You know, manipulation, in a nice sense, needs to happen. Control, systematic utilization of assets, including people, getting people to do things, getting things done. But the manager is more, you know, looking, where are we going? I mean, the leader's looking, where are we going? Where should we be going? And how can we get the devotees? How can we give vision? This is one of the qualities of a leader, which we'll talk about, I think, more tomorrow. But it distinguishes between a leader and a manager. A leader really has vision. Where we are going, you know? Where are we going? Like when the lights are turned off at night, you stumble around, you know, where are we? So management means to kind of sort it out. Leadership means to give a real clear sense of direction of where we should go, and inspiration, so everyone, the followers, feel right. We are going in the right direction, or a good direction, and we are happy about that. Yes, so management and leadership. So like I said, a good manager may be a good leader. A leader may also do some management. But, you know, sometimes in our projects we have it like that. There's someone who's the manager, who just keeps track of the bank account and the income. And what is he doing? And what is he doing? And why is he not doing? And all of these types of considerations. And then kind of moving things around to get the functions done. But the leader the leader is really taking things forward. There's a sense of motion, of movement, and there's an underlying theme of inspiration in Krishna consciousness. So how does this sound, devotees? Have you heard this sort of thing before? I see blank stares. At least no one's asleep yet. Does this sound like it might possibly be of some interest or help?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to do it, so let's just carry on. Okay, so managers, leaders. I think, you know, we've given at least a number of examples, which are interesting and helpful. Yeah. So, next point we're going to look at, who are the natural leaders? Not in the sense of what sort of person could be a leader, like in terms of personality or something like that, but just in general, within our movement or even in life, in general. What type of person should be a natural leader? Anyway, let's look in Krishna consciousness. A natural leader would be nice. Like the yatra leaders, the temple leaders, temple presidents, and, you know, like here we have, it's not exactly a temple, but our head here is Raghunath Prabhu, is that right? Okay, there's a few. So, in this sort of project, whoever the leader or leaders are, they are people who would naturally, we would hope, would act in leadership types of roles and not just managerial types of roles. Not just making sure, you know, the nuts and bolts fit together, but giving that inspiration and some dynamism to the project. Then how about, there we're talking about the most senior, those with the most responsible posts. What about department heads in a bigger temple like Krishna Balaram Temple? Maybe you've got a Sankirtan or book distribution department. I know in Radhavakananda Temple, Mother Satyabhama is the Sankirtan leader. She's the head of the department. So, for someone like that, to have these leadership qualities and to work in a leadership type way, this would be very good. So they're natural types of leaders or people who one would hope could function as leaders. And then, in a more, in a slightly different sense, but it's still quite possible, devotees who are preachers, like, well, you know, another Hatha leader or Bhakti Vriksha leader, they're already a sort of like a department head in a sense, or like a project head. But just preachers, devotees who are going out distributing books, for example. Devotees who go out and do house programs. These types of devotees, if they if they do their preaching very nicely, they can provide leadership to the people they are preaching to, and the people they're preaching to then become inspired and they feel, yes, let us move in that direction. How about, this is a good one, how about parents? Parents are natural leaders, or should be, to give inspiration and that type of guidance to their family members, particularly to the children, husband to the wife, and maybe the wife to the husband. It depends on the social dynamics in the family. But parents, it's a role which lends itself to acting in leadership terms. And well, this might be a little too broad, but anyway, in a sense, all devotees, because the people are watching us. When you walk down the street with your dhoti, kurta, tilak on, many people are looking at you. And sometimes, you know, I've had experience or I've come across situations where a devotee was in a sort of public environment and the devotee did something which was not so good. And ordinary people, and I don't mean just like ordinary Hindu people, but like ordinary white people who you may not have any idea about what is Krishna consciousness, but I've had just ordinary people like that complain that, you know, we thought you were spiritual. What is this? This fellow, one of your people did something. So there are sort of expectations of devotees spiritually amongst the people in general. You know, I know in situations, for example, in a couple of situations I heard of where airplanes flying, you know, the Mauritius Star, suddenly the plane got into difficulty. There's a big panic. And there's a call for prayer. And the people have got the devotee to go up in front and lead a prayer. Yeah. So, and this is, you know, just a completely mixed group of people. Not Hindu people. And what to speak of here in Mauritius, where there's a very Hindu environment. Yeah. So in many ways, devotees have, or can have, or should have, leadership-type roles just on the basis of just being devotees. Yeah. So that means then that these different categories, yatra, temple or project heads, department heads, preachers, parents, and even in a sense all devotees, they should try to act in leadership capacities and try to cultivate and display the qualities of a leader. So, now what I'm going to do, see, the majority of our seminar from now on, the majority is to discuss the qualities of a leader, look at examples, look at some things which are opposed to those qualities, look at ways of cultivating some of those qualities. I'm going to now run through a list. I have a list here of 9 personal qualities. And you may have more. Let's discuss it a bit. Let us be a little interactive rather than me just, what they call the talking head. Now, in my opinion, and I'd say in my experience, the first quality that a leader needs to have in order to be able to begin to really function as a leader effectively, particularly over a little period of time, is to show a good example. We're going to discuss this just in a little while. We'll focus on this for the rest of the evening. But before we do that, let's just go just look at some other qualities. But this is really important, to set a good example and be a good example. Yeah, because we are leading here. We're talking about leading in Krishna consciousness. We're not just talking about just leading, like lead the troops, but leading by example. And when we come to discuss this in a little more detail in a few minutes, what verse from Bhagavad Gita do you think we are going to refer to, devotees? And not Raghunath Prabhu, because he knows everything. But what verse from Bhagavad Gita? You have a suggestion? Okay. That's the one. What's that verse number? Yad yad achanati shosnat. It is Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, verse 21. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, we'll read the verse in purport shortly, but let's just consider some other qualities of a leader. Well, I mentioned one which I feel is maybe arguably second, anyway, it's certainly important. Is a leader, in order to be a leader and to be effective, the leader has to have a vision. where are you leading us? Leading implies a direction. Where are we going around here? So a leader needs to have vision. And we'll talk about the details of vision, but basically an idea of where we all are going, which is inspiring. So the devotees think, right, yeah, that's where we're going. That's the right direction, the right place to go. Let's go. Let's follow the leader. Another quality of a leader, some of these may overlap a bit, is that the leader has to really faithfully represent Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. And the GBC body, for example. Yeah. So, yeah, like be authoritative, not too speculative. And in that regard, a leader is very good if the leader is able to answer questions. I mean, ideally of practically any relevant type. We'll talk about them more as we go, but you know, seeing you're leading in a certain direction, that direction, and not that direction, something specific, then a leader should be able to predict what sort of questions may arise about the direction that the leader is leading them in. Then how about, well, this may sound a little bit more on the Kshatriya side, but a leader should have courage. Brahmins also have courage, don't worry. Courage. First of all, the courage of their convictions about the vision, where we're going, what, you know, the basic ideas of what we're doing around here. Here's some more subtle ones. A leader should have a service attitude towards those who are following. And it's connected with, although, you know, it's also arguably separate from another possible quality, humility. You know, it doesn't work well if the leader becomes the boss. The boss. You must do what I say. All right. What do they say in the famous British poem? Ours not to reason why, or ours but to do or die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. We don't want despots. You understand this term, despot? Tyrants. We don't want heavies. And we want inspirers. That's what we want. So the devotee, the leader, needs to have a service attitude towards those who he's leading, and to be humble. You know, in Bhakti Vriksha, they have taken the term, it's a term which was coined in the material realm, servant leader. Servant leader, not the big boss leader. Yes, very important. These are not necessarily in any order, although I do think setting good examples is most important. But for a leader really has to care for those who he or she is leading. Leaders really have to care about the devotees under them. Here's a good one, it's a bit subtle. A leader has to learn to be forgiving. I don't know how much leadership or management any or many of you have done, but one problem in doing some leadership and or management is that some of the devotees under you sometimes make mistakes, and even big mistakes. And you know, if you can't digest that without, you know, getting too disturbed and angry, then you will not be able to lead. At least the devotee who you got angry with, you're not going to be able to lead them very effectively, or even manage them, actually. If you're not able to forgive and just, you know, not become too attached to the faults of those under you. Then another quality, it helps if a leader is competent. Competent, they're able to get things done and, yeah, sort of got their head screwed on properly. Now, I don't doubt there are many other qualities of a leader in Krishna consciousness. I would like to hear from all of you wonderful devotees some suggestions of some other qualities which you feel it may be helpful for a leader to have. Yes, I'm asking you, devotees.
Compassion.
Well, okay, that's fair. I put caring in, but compassion, yeah, good.
Okay, we'll put it in.
Compassion, thank you. Who's next?
Diplomatic.
Say it again.
Diplomatic.
Oh, diplomatic. Okay. A good politician. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I can see the point you're getting at, and it's, in a sense, it's true. A good leader will be able to say things truthfully without being, you know, in the negative sense, manipulative, patronizing. Yeah. But okay, that's fair. Another suggestion, please.
Patient.
That's a good one. Okay.
Yes, I got the two scriptures.
Well, yeah, I've said represent Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, and then there's teaching by example. I think it's the same idea. But yes, it's vital. Yes.
Tolerant.
Patient/tolerant. And from the ladies, Hare Krishna ladies, we don't want to just be a men's society here. And you're all intelligent devotees. Please make a suggestion. Don't be afraid. Anyway, think about it. I'll get back to you in 1 minute. Okay. Now from the men behind the front row. Sorry?
Simple.
Okay, let's put it down. Simple. Simple. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, simple.
Okay. Courage. I mentioned courage. I had that idea in mind, yeah, to take decisions and not then get all mental about it. But, you know, we decided this, okay, let's do it. But, okay, good. I'm just going to come to you shortly, ladies. Another one from the man. Good listener. That's a good one. That's a very good one. You know, I, twice actually, or even three times, I took the Stephen Covey course in, I think it's leadership, anyway, it was something like that. And one of his main points was try to understand before trying to be understood. That's a very good point. Because I tell you what, I don't know if you had the experience yet. If you are leading or managing something already, but the tendency is, it is so common that when devotees have a problem or some situation arises, that you're just so used to being the one who does all the talking that, you know, the devotee says, well, you know, I got some problem. And before they get any further, you already told them the solution. What you think is the solution, but you haven't actually heard what the problem is properly, and you haven't really considered it. Yeah, so Covey says, try to understand before trying to be understood. It's a good one. Thank you. And now to the Mataji's.
Flexible.
Good on you. Thank you. That's a good one. I like that. Flexible. Time, place, and circumstance. Not just attached. We do it this way. Okay. Thank you. That's a good one. Rational. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Rational. Yeah. We hope not irrational or, you know, like whimsical. Is there one more? From the Mother Chase. You are thinking about one. Those are suggestions. Okay. That's a good one. There's a certain amount of overlapping going on, but that's fine. There are different sort of, you know, nuances to many of these. Different perspectives and so on. And you know, a seminar like this, we could do it. We could do it for a week or more. You know, it can practically just be an ongoing thing in a constant state of being updated. But I think we've got some really good ones here. So what we'll do for the rest of the evening, we will look at this one, which I feel, and I still do feel, because this is leading in Krishna consciousness. I really feel it's most important, or at the least it's extremely important, and it's vital. And as we mentioned, There is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 21. Yad yada charity shestas, tatad eve tarojana, sayat pramadam kurute, lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets, by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Because like I said, many people are watching us. And I don't mean just us as relatively perhaps more senior people, but just devotees. As soon as you put a dhoti and kurta on, and even perhaps before you put your tilak on straight, but people are watching you. Yeah. And well, you know what Prabhupada said, that if you have a clean sheet, like a white sheet, and if you just sprinkle some ink on it, like a fountain pen. Do you still use fountain pens in Mauritius? So you just take a fountain pen, just one pen. And now you've got some, not a lot, but you've got some spots. And those spots stand out. On the other hand, if you have a sheet which is just saturated with ink completely, and you flick some ink on it, no one will notice anything. Yeah. So for devotees, devotee leaders, and for all devotees, it's extremely important to bear in mind that we are representing Prabhupada. People have expectations of us, and it's very important to live up to those expectations. Let me read Srila Prabhupada's purport. It's just so much to the point. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. What I normally tell the devotees now is a little experience I had. We were collecting money for building our temple in Durban, Radharanath Temple. So it was the early, it may have been 83, may have been 84, so about 30 years ago. So me and one other devotee, we were a team. We were fundraising by selling paintings. Would you believe? Anyway, that's what we were doing. And we raised a lot of money. So there we were. And we got a booth, like a little area, at a big agricultural show where just thousands of people come and all different companies display their products and so on. So we had our spot, and across from us, across the little corridor, you know, like 3, 4, 5 meters at the most away from us, was the Cancer Society. in that trying to help people. It was particularly the lung cancer. So they're trying to help people, trying to convince people to not smoke or to stop smoking. And they had all this literature and pictures, and they call people in and, you know, and just tell them not to smoke. And we were across from them, so we sort of got to know them a little. We were there for like a week. And we noticed this one young man, he was maybe 20-something, and every half hour, he would disappear. And we thought, gee whiz, what's wrong with him? Maybe he needs to use the toilet a lot. He had some problem with his kidneys or something. But one day, the other devotee with me, he went outside, and there, just around the corner outside, was the young man smoking a cigarette. And our devotee said to him, "Come on, what are you doing? You're the anti-cancer, anti-smoking people." And the young fellow said, "I know, I'm sorry, I just can't stop myself." So that's what Prabhupada said here. And it applies, you know, obviously, to everything. Not just smoking, but drinking, and, you know, if you are prone to get angry, if you're one of those types of devotees who just get angry too easily, then you can't. How are you going to teach other devotees who know what you are? How are you going to teach them how to control their anger? Okay, let's carry on. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra. Hare Krishna, Srinjaya Prabhu, Yandana. Just sit over there. We're blocking the ladies. Yeah. Are you okay? Therefore, one who teaches in that way is called Acharya, or the ideal Acharya. As you know, I imagine, Acharya is based on the word achar, which means activity, basically. So Acharya means a person who teaches by his activities, not just by his words. So, therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard Shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. And you see, the idea here is, Bhagavad says, Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And that is the way of making progress. So this is for you leaders. the devotees should be able to follow in your footsteps. And you should know that as I take my footsteps, or as I do my leading, as I conduct myself and guide and inspire those under me, as I do that, the expectation is, in fact, it is unavoidable, they will start doing what you do. So, you know, previously, many years ago, there was a great, or epidemic even, you could say, of cheating techniques used in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And it began with one person. It began with one devotee who just, you know, he's one of these clever devotees, and he's selling someone the book. And the person says, oh, is this about something which it's not really about? And the devotee said, yeah. It's, you know, like what I do. Is this about how to control your anger? Because people often expect that from people like us. But the book, you know, like Bhagavad Gita, in a sense, I mean, obviously in a sense, that's part of the picture, but Krishna's trying to get Arjuna to become more angry. Come on, you gotta fight. So is this book about how to stop being angry? Oh yes. And then the person takes the book. And even the classic case was the one devotee told a person, this book can solve the energy crisis. This is now in the 70s. Prabhupada was present. And there was a period of time in the 70s. It may have been before the times of many of you, but I remember it very vividly, where there was an expectation that the world was going to run out of petrol like any day, or at least in the next year or maybe two. It was just around the corner. And so there was this whole big international flap about, we've got to conserve petrol and all that sort of thing. So the devotee said, yes, this book will help solve the energy crisis. Which is better than, you know, there are a few devotees who said, yes, this book is all about cricket. I tell you, we've had some real cases. Anything to sell the book. Anything to sell the book. Lie, cheat. It's okay, as long as they take the book. It's not such a good idea. And you know, what happened was that the devotees who were following that devotee, they started doing it also. And now you've got this whole team, and they're all basically just cheating the people and lying to the people. And they developed it's a very successful, but it's a very like damaging in terms of our reputation and how people see us. A very damaging technique. It's called the change-up. Have you ever heard of the change-up? We're talking here about generally on the street, you're dealing with someone, it could be door to door also, that the devotee told the person, person is going to take a book, they pull out some change, and the devotee says, look, I got too much change, can you give me a note? And I'll give you change for the note so I can get rid of some of my change. So the person now gives, okay, here's a $20 note. And the devotee gives him, the person is thinking maybe of giving $2 or maximum $5, you know, some relatively small amount. So he gives, okay, look here, take a 20, give me change. Devotee gives $1 back. Is that okay? Is that fine? Is that all right? And in other words, tries to pressurize him into agreeing, oh, all right then. So this is called a change-up. And this way you get people to give more than they would give if it was just up to them to give. And the other devotees, they saw this. That now you collect a lot more money. Wow! You can distribute a lot more books. They all started doing it. It became an epidemic. It was the standard technique for hundreds of book distributors all over America. And it got us a terrible reputation. So understand that whatever, however you lead, and whatever example you set, others, your followers, they will follow in your footsteps. They will. So Prabhupada's making that point. And therefore it's just so vital to set a good example. The king, or the executive head of the state, the father, and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural teachers. Are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Plus, in a general sense, they must set a really good example. And you know, Prabhupada did that himself. Many times Prabhupada said, just do as I am doing. Just do as I am doing. In other words, Prabhupada was completely aware that whatever he was doing, everyone, all the other devotees were going to do. So therefore he made sure he did the right things. So what does that mean practically then? What should you actually do? Well, you should have a good sadhana. I mean, you should be Krishna conscious. And without a good sadhana, it is not really very possible to be very Krishna conscious. It's just, you know, good luck. So that means that you should attend the morning programs as much as possible, completely if possible. You should follow the morning program if you're a temple resident person, or if you live near a temple. You should chant japa visibly so devotees can see that you actually chant japa. And you should sort of hit up the programs. Like if you're a center leader, like yourself. What's the name of your town again?
Fondusac.
Fondusac. And Marcel Mall, Saint André, and all these places, Blombois. You should be there on the Sunday program if you're the leader. And not just be there, but take the lead. Come up, you know, a bit of courage, boldness. Stand up in front of everyone and just sort of, you know, establish what's what. Yeah. So, japa, attending the morning programs, good sadhana, and leading the programs, being there in the forefront, being acharya-like. Yeah, and maintaining appropriate regulative principles for your ashram. Majority of you are grihasthas, right? Great majority. Good, that's fine. But then you should be ideal grihasthas. If you happen to be a brahmachari, then you should be a real brahmachari and not like a cross brahmachari grihastha mix. We used to call them back in the old days in England, where, you know, you have, there are many brahmacharis, like 60, 70, 100 more sometimes. And you get a certain number who are like peripheral, marginal. You know, they're not really into being brahmacharis and being strict. So, but they would wear saffron and, you know, hang out with the boys and sometimes with the girls. And we would call them, because they're like cross, brahmachari grihastha cross. We would call them brahmastras. Brahmastras. You know, there's the famous weapon. Super weapon, the Brahmastra. So whatever your ashram is, okay, but be in your ashram. Be in your ashram. And don't be like a mixed ashram type of person. So if you're a grihastha, which I think the great majority of you are, which is fine, then you should uphold and demonstrate the principles of being a proper grihastha, so that the others, they can, when they look at you and your relationship with your wife or your husband, your relationships with your children, so just by watching you, they can get some idea how to be a grihastha, what it means to actually be a Krishna conscious grihastha. And I thought, if it's okay with you, I could, because in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, it's the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the last two verses of that 10th chapter of the 9th canto, they are, the first one is about how Lord Ram was an ideal householder man, and the second one, the last verse in the chapter, is about how Sita was the ideal grihastha woman. And there are a number, not a huge number, but there's a number of verses in different places in the Bhagavatam, if you look, about grihastha duties and so on. So, this is now Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text 54. Ekapatni vrata dharo Rajashi Charita Shuchi Swadharmam Griha Mediyam Shikshayam Swayam Acharit. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashram Dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities. Srihastha man. And this is now about Mother Sita. Premanuvritya Shilena Prashraya Vanata Sati Vyahriya Chavavagya Bartu Sita Haran Mana. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. So, you know, you all, or so many of you, grihasthas. So, very important consideration, extremely important. And, you know, want to speak of the fact that will help you in your own Krishna consciousness anyway, if you maintain the principles of your ashram in the proper ways. Yeah. Then things like, you know, I mean, it's not so much of a problem here in other parts of the world. It's a real problem. Vaishnav dress. When you come to the temple, when you attend programs, as a leader, you should definitely wear Vaishnav dress and tila. Definitely. You know, some devotees, they come to the programs, like Sunday program and whatnot, in non-devotee clothes. Even some initiated devotees, and even some sometimes secular initiated devotees. I don't know so much about here, but I've seen it so much in many other places. And you know, what are you disguising yourself? So Lady Krishna will not recognize that, here is my devotee. Yeah. Devotees, we like to wear our devotee clothes. We should like to. We should like to, because they're nice. But as leaders, we have to. And to use tilak and so on like that. So there you go. These are some beginning thoughts on spiritual leadership, leadership in Krishna consciousness. We'll continue tomorrow by discussing about vision, and then we'll go on to the various other topics which we came up with. Any comments or questions so far? Any serious disagreements? Yes.
We are leaders and we make errors. And who are there to control us, to rectify us?
Okay. If we are leaders and we make errors, who will be there, should be there to control us or to correct us and help us. Yes, well, we should, and I mean, well, we should have our own leaders who are leading us. Means, if you are a temple president, for argument's sake, then you may have a regional secretary, and or a GBC, and you know, it's very healthy to have nice peer association of equals, even if they're not like official leaders or official authorities for you, but people who you respect and who do give good input sometimes. Yeah. But you know, if you're a department head, then it should be the yatra, the temple leadership. If you're a preacher, a book distributor, it should be the Sankirtan leader or someone like that. Yeah. And if you're a GBC, if that day comes, it's the GBC body. Any other question? Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. And we will continue on tomorrow at the same time here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.